The Ghost of Guir House by Charles Willing Beale. Chapter 1. When Mr. Henley reached his dingy little house in 20th Street, a servant met him at the door with a letter, saying, "The postman has just left it, sir, and hopes it is right, as it has given him a lot of trouble." Mr. Henley examined the letter with curiosity. There were several erased addresses. The original was Mr. P. Henley, New York City. Scarcely legible in the lower left-hand corner was "Dead. Try Paul, number so-and-so, West 20th. Being unfamiliar with the handwriting, Mr. Henley carried the letter to his room. It was nearly dark, and he lighted the gas, exchanged the coat he had been wearing for a gaudy smoking jacket, glancing momentarily at the mirror at a young and gentlemanly face with good features, complexion rather florid, hair and mustache neither fair nor dark, with reddish lights. Seating himself upon a table directly under the gas, he proceeded with the letter. Evidently the document was not intended for him, but it proved sufficiently interesting to hold his attention. "Guir House, 16th September, 1893. My dear Mr. Henley, although we have never met, I feel sure that you are the man for whom I am looking, which conclusion has been reached after carefully considering your letters. Why have I taken so long to decide? Perhaps I can answer that better when we meet. Do not forget that the name of our station is the same as that of the house, Guir. Take the evening train from New York, and you will be with us in Old Virginia next day, not 24 hours. I shall meet you at the station, where I shall go every day for a month, or until you come. You will know me because I shall probably be the only girl there, and because I drive a piebald horse in a cart with red wheels. But how shall I know you? Suppose you carry a red handkerchief in your hand as you step upon the platform. Yes, that will do famously. I shall look for the red silk handkerchief, while you look for the cart with gory wheels and a calico horse. What a clever idea! But how absurd to take precautions in such a desolate country as this! I shall know you as the only man stopping at Guir's, and you will know me as the only woman in sight. Of course, you will be our guest until you have proved all things to your satisfaction, and don't forget that I shall be looking for you each day until I see you. Meanwhile, believe me, sincerely yours, Dorothy Guir." "Devilish strange letter," said Henley, turning the sheet over in an effort to identify the writer. But it was useless. Dorothy Guir was as complete a myth as the individual for whom her letter was intended. Oddly enough, the man's last name, as well as the initial of his first, were the same as his own. But whether the P stood for Peter, Paul, or Philip, Mr. Henley knew not, the only evident fact being that the letter was not intended for himself. Reading the mysterious communication once more, the young man smiled. Who was Dorothy Guir? Of course she was Dorothy Guir, but what was she like? At one moment he pictured her as a charming girl, where curls, giggles, and blushes were strangely intermingled with moonlight walks, rope ladders, and elopements. At the next, as some monstrous female agitator, a leader of anarchists and nihilistic organizations, loaded with insurrectionary documents for the destruction of society. But the author was inclined to playfulness, incompatible with such a character. He preferred the former picture, and throwing back his head while watching the smoke from his cigarette curl upward toward the ceiling, Mr. Paul Henley suddenly became convulsed with laughter. He had conceived